18. Let's read Romans 11, verse 1 together. I say then, as God casts away his people, God forbid, that I would look on the Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people, and the heretic Harold Camping used to be the head of the family radio. He's one of the men that says, oh, he's cast away his people. And now the church has become Israel. Heresy after heresy. Israel will be restored later, and the church does not ever take the place of Israel. Israel and the church is a church. And those that are saved and born again who are Israelites are members of the church, yes, but the whole Israelitish nation never will take the place of the church. It's a separate organization, and it's still going to be alive and well pretty soon, one of these days at least. Let's read Romans 11 and verse 2. God hath not cast away his people, said Brother. What he not, what the scripture saith unto the last, how he maketh intercession for God against Israel, saying, now he's against Israel. You're just going to read verse 3 that goes right along with verse 2 together. Lord, they have killed thy prophets and taken down thy altars, and I am alone and seek my life. So it's true. These things are true, that they have done all these things, but that God doesn't cast away his people just because they've done wrong things. He will return to bless them and raise them again. There'll be a renewed Israel in the future. In Hebrews 13, in verse 5 and 6, let your conversation, says, be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. For so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do to me. So either Israel is not going to be destroyed, and the churches, those are saved people, are not going to be destroyed, but there's going to be continuation of the church, his body, the body of Christ, and with Israel in the future. Let's read verse number 4, Romans 11, 4. But what is the treasure of God in Israel? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the angels of hell. 7,000 men God has found. He's able to see in all of Israel 7,000. And not simply everybody's gone and taken away. Elijah was there, and they had various things take place. 7,000, how God could see all these hearts, but he's able to see. He's omnipotent, omniscient. He can see that these people are sound and sane, even though it looks like many of them have gone away from the Lord. But God has found 7,000 that are true and honest. Let's read Romans 11, verse 5. Even so then, to the present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There's a remnant of Jews, and they are seen by the Lord. And the 7,000 certainly is a big remnant of those that are true to the Lord, even though that many have fallen away, and the leaders have fallen away indeed. Let's read verse number 6, Romans 11, verse 6. And if it be by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Again, Harold Camping, the big heretic on these whole things, he says, if we're Israelites and elect, and he's a hyper-Calvinist, and he's been chosen, and if it's by faith, faith is a work. Faith is never a work. Faith is faith and work is work. It says right in this verse. And Harold Camping again teaches and taught, he's dead now, but in family radio, it's another one of his heresies, that by works and by faith, it's by works, but by faith is given, it's a work. Faith is a work, when faith is never a work. As far as that is concerned. And we have these heretics all the time. And churches are not sound and sane and sensible. And this man who had the family radio wasn't sound, sane, and sensible either. Many people listened to him. Music was there, seemed to be all right, but not the other things. Let's read Romans 11 and verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained what Moses is written, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. So many of these Israelites were blinded. God blinded them. They weren't able to trust him, and they didn't see eye to eye with the things of the scriptures. And there's a lot of apostasy there in the Old Testament by Israel, various ones, various tribes. For instance, in the ten tribes went into captivity in Babylon, Assyria. They went into Assyria first, and that was in 900 AD, or 900, it was a BC, BC, yes. And then two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, went into Babylon in 600 BC. And so both of these tribes, two tribes of the south and ten tribes of the north, were taken into captivity as because they violated the words of God. They didn't follow the scriptures, and God took them away. And they were there in Babylon for 70 years. In fact, I wrote an article on that particular one, and it's a 7 years captivity. Discussed it in great detail as well. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. So Israel is blinded. Thousands and millions of Gentiles are also blinded right now. And Satan is the one that's blinded them, the God of this world, that's blinded the minds, the God of this world, lest they see now. So this, because then in Romans 11, verse 8, this is, in this particular section, we're going to talk about the preservation of the words of God, preservation of the Bible words. Let's read this verse together. According as it is written, God has given them an assurance of slumber.
Eyes that they cannot see, ears that they cannot hear, unto this day.
Now, that phrase, it is written, we've talked about it many times. That's a Greek phrase which is a perfect tense. The Greek language has many tenses, simple tenses, present tense, two past tense, imperfect, which is a continuous past, aorist, point action, just a point action in the past. There's other compound tense, but there's a fourth tense, present, past, and there's a future tense, also future tense. But there's a fourth tense, which is this perfect tense. The perfect tense is not understood or not believed by many of these translations and these other versions that deny the proper preservation of the Word of God. The perfect tense, as we've said many times before, takes up three things. It takes up something that was written and spoken in the past, whose continuation of that in the present. It doesn't change. And on into the future, it does not change. Gegraptai is this word for grapho, to write. And this perfect tense shows that Bible words are preserved. And the people that deny this, that don't believe that this perfect tense means something written in the past, who it presents itself and continues to the present, not in the future, they don't believe it. And therefore they deny the preservation of the Hebrew, the Aramaic, and the Greek. And therefore, their new versions are perversions. That's why Dr. Jack Mormon could write a big, thick book, probably 2 inches long, and take the New Testament Greek text, just the New Testament alone, and find 8,000 differences between what these new versions, NIV, NIVREST, NASB, differ from the King James Bible. 8,000. Many of them are minor and so on, but still there are differences. And they were another book, probably an inch and a half, maybe. And that's what we have up there. We carry these things, you get them. And he finds 356 of these differences, 8,000 differences, have to do with doctrines, teachings, very important taking away the deity of Christ, taking away salvation by faith in him. One of the verses, for example, we used that the other day. We have believing, having faith in something by believing, period. But the scripture said believing in him, Lord Jesus Christ, wiped out. The Gnostics have perverted and changed the new versions, doctrines. 356 of them, very serious indeed. And then there's a group of Baptist groups and denominations and churches that have bought into this lack of Bible preservation of the words. And they have all kinds of versions, as we all know, and the versions are changed and changing. They change from what the King James Bible says and various other things. There's a coalition of seven of these churches and schools. Most of them are Baptists. Just because somebody's a Baptist doesn't mean they're straight. These are seriously deformed. At the Central Baptist Seminary in Minneapolis, Minnesota, for example, they don't believe in Bible preservation. All their versions, they don't use the King James Bible anymore, used to, but they've perverted it. They use some of the new version, which changes the doctrines in a horrible way, and they're cohabiting and going along with six other schools. And most of them are Baptists, but Central Baptist is the first. Bob Jones University is another one. They haven't used the King James Bible. They haven't used the Textus Receptus anymore. The Dallas Seminary, my seminary, used the Textus Receptus for years and years and years. And they don't believe in Bible preservation. Bob Jones University, in fact, I was sleeping night before last, and I heard a big crash. I didn't get up and see what it was. But the next day, went into my office. I have a number of books packed up. One whole pile fell to the floor. So I picked it up and I looked at it. I put them back where it was. I don't know why they fell down, but they did fall down. Nobody knocked them down. It's just too much. I picked up every one of those probably 20-25 books that were stacked up vertically. Don't have any more room, so at vertical such ways. Every one of those books, some of the very good books, as I told you that before, I guess I shouldn't repeat it, but my wife's written several books that were there. I forgot about it, very fine books. But one of the books was in that stack, thin book. I told you that yesterday, too. And I guess, let me repeat myself, it was addressed to Bob Jones University. And he'd written me and clouded me back. Bob Jones University is one of these schools that two of our sons attended. Don, Dick.
Three of them.
Three of the sons, yes. Don, Dan, and Dick. Okay. They went there and so on. And I said something about Bob Jones III. I mentioned it yesterday. I shouldn't repeat myself. But anyhow, he wrote a real strong response to me, and so I responded to him in a strong manner as well. But Bob Jones University, one of the schools that does not use the Textus Receptus, despises it, does not stand for the King James Bible. It used to stand, used to use it, I guess, but just like Dallas Seminary, my school, doesn't stand for the King James Bible. It did as long as Dr. Schaefer was living. As long as he was living, he used the King James Bible throughout his classes. And then Walvoord took over, Dr. John Walvoord. And I said before that the only reason he was the president is because he knocked on Dr. Schaefer's door one time and said, "Dr. Schaefer, would you write me a letter saying that when you die, I'm going to be the president?" So, very calm sort of man. So he wrote the letter and he became the president. And as soon as Dr. Schaefer died, Dr. Walvoord knocked off the King James Bible at Dallas Seminary. That was in Dr. Schaefer's original seven-volume theology. Well, Walvoord changed the seven volumes, cut it down to three or four, and took out the King James Bible at Dallas, and so on and so on. So these things are not sacred, many of these schools, and Dallas is one as well as Bob Jones University. They use it sometimes, I guess. Did they not, Dan? But other times, they didn't use it. Then a third school, we got Central Baptist Seminary, doesn't believe in Bible preservation, Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. Bob Jones does not. Northland Baptist College in Wisconsin, another one, a third school. They are opposed to Bible preservation. When God says, perfect tense, it is written, it means something occurred in the past, preserved to the present, preserved to the future. They say, we don't believe it. And so there's all kinds of translations and various things. Then a fourth school, they're all part of this coalition, seven schools all together. They're Baptists, most of them, except Bob Jones. And just because the thing, as I said, is Baptist, you don't believe it. There's plenty of apostate Baptist schools. And Detroit Baptist Seminary is the fourth school. Detroit Baptist Seminary, Detroit, Michigan. And they have discarded Texas Receptus. They receive texts. And they use versions and translations that do not believe in Bible preservation of the Hebrew, the Aramaic, and the Greek. And so they can make up their mind anything they want. They can change, and they do change, and they have changed in these modern versions. That's the fifth one, Clearwater Christian College. A sixth one in this coalition, Maranatha Baptist Bible College in Watertown, Wisconsin. Another one of the group that has despised the King James Bible, despised the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek original words in the languages and the traditional texts that go along with it. A fifth one. And then a sixth school. That's a Christian college instead of a Baptist, but many of them are Baptist. The sixth school, Maranatha Baptist Bible College in Watertown, Wisconsin. They're part of this coalition that despise the King James Bible, despise the preservation of the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek texts, and use all sorts of versions, all sorts of wrong versions, and not believe in the King James Bible or the texts that underlie them. And finally, the seventh one, Calvary Baptist Seminary, Lansdale, Pennsylvania. Again, these schools, Baptist school, we're a Baptist church, but we don't agree with that. Ken sees you. Wonder why Ken would call. Hello, Ken. We're preaching now. What's up? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Picture's not working on YouTube. Thank you. Is the sound working? Okay. So the picture's not working, so maybe you should put some other one. Like, what's the other one of the shoot?
Camera audio.
What is it?
There's what the picture looks like on YouTube right now.
Okay.
See it?
Yeah, YouTube is working now.
This is YouTube.
I see. Yeah, Ken, the YouTube is working now, so check and see.
Maybe your computer.
Maybe your computer. There's another one, several other ones that work, though.
Well, it's
probably,
if it's his computer, it's
going to
be his computer wherever he's
at.
Go to meeting,
sermon
audio.
Sermon audio, I think, is working. Sermon audio, okay. So go to that.
Is it working?
Yeah, it's working.
So go to those other ones. Ken, thank you.
So the sound's not working either? What's it say? It's not the soundboard yet.
Sound's working.
Sound's working too, yeah. All right, so these are the schools that used to be fundamental and sound and sane, but they've discarded the Hebrew, traditional Hebrew text for other things and changed it. They've discarded the Aramaic text, traditional Aramaic, and they've discarded the traditional Greek text. And so what are they standing for? They're just making up their own mind. They take the apostate Gnostic text of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek and change it accordingly without any rhyme or reason. And that's a sad thing. We've got to stand for the traditional Hebrew, traditional Aramaic, traditional Greek text, as our King James has done. And secondly, once you have that proper Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic, you must translate it properly into all the languages of the world, which is not being done. Whether it's English, Spanish, French, German, whoever it is, the King James Bible has translated with excellent taste and excellent proper translation the whole Bible. They had six different companies, and each one of those six companies, when they finished their translation of that portion that they had for the Bible, extend to all other of the six companies. And they went over it. And they, if there are changes, they made changes. Then when all those six companies went over it, the six companies, then that one company, which is together, each company, then they selected a final company. Individual companies, each other did it, and they had one final company, and they went over to third general time. And that was the exact way that the King James Bible was translated. Never any other translation has ever been done in that way. And so in other words, the King James Bible had the proper traditional Hebrew text, proper traditional Aramaic text, proper traditional Greek text. They have translated that in excellent, accurate fashion, like no other translation in the world. That's why we recommend it. If you want to know what God's word is in English, if you want to know what tradition is, look at it in Hebrew, in Aramaic, and Greek, the traditional ones. So these are the things, this coalition of seven different men, not believing in Bible preservation, they stood for these other things in other versions. In Isaiah 44, in verse 18, it says, they have not known nor understood, for he hath shut their eyes that they cannot see, their hearts that they cannot comprehend and understand. And then in Isaiah 19, verse 10, for the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers and the seers hath he covered. God blinded these Israelites. And again in Isaiah 6 and verse 9, he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see indeed, but perceive not. And these are the things that happened to them. Let's read Romans 11, verse 9 together. And David says, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a recompense unto them. Their table a snare, as it says in Psalm 69, verse 22, let their table become a snare, and there he's quoting, and before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. So this is a sad situation. In Israel, he didn't hearken to the words of the living God. Then in Jude 24, now unto to him that is able to keep thee from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with his glory and exceeding joy. God is able to keep us from falling. Doesn't have to be like Israel and fall and do other things like that. And people are falling a lot of times, even Christians today that are not following the scriptures. Many churches are falling. Churches are not the same as they used to be. Let's face that. Apostasy has come, started one way, takes another. Doesn't take long for apostasy and change, horrible change, to come to a church. I think of the church that my wife used to attend, Haddonites Baptist Church right here in Haddonites, New Jersey. And all of a sudden, they changed pastors one at a time. There was a good pastor to start with, and preached the word. It was a fine, fine church. And they changed to another pastor, and it was a strange type of a church indeed. And then they finally got a pastor that didn't believe most of anything. We left the church at that particular time, one of those times, one of those changes in the pastor. But all it takes for a fundamental Bible-believing church, many times, to change completely to a compromised church, if not completely, totally modernistic church, is a, just one change of pastor. You change the pastors, the whole thing falls down. Many churches are that way. In Jude 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. God is able to keep us from falling. And able to keep churches from falling. I'm convinced that Pastor Dan stands with the present pastor on the beliefs and standards of the scriptures. And that's why he's our assistant pastor. And if and when, I'm sure, one of these days I will be no more. I'm gone, and if he continues, I'm sure the doctrines will continue. He holds the doctrines. He preaches the doctrines as he preaches and studies the churches. In Jude 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That's the Lord himself is able to do this. I remember one of these churches that we used to attend, my wife and I. The assistant pastor committed adultery with the choir leader. That's apostasy of a church that needs to be sound. Secondly, the pastor that was there committed adultery with some other woman. Two adulteries in the same church, which we left. Well, I'm glad we left when we did. But it's sad. We need to be sound in the faith. The Lord is able to keep us from falling. He's able to keep us from falling, and we should not be falling indeed. And let's read this next verse. Is verse number 10, 11, 10. Let your eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down the backs always. Darkened and bow down the backs instead of the right bowing down. And that's what's happened in many churches indeed. Let's read Romans 11 and verse 11. I say then that they stumble if they reach and fall, God forbid, but rather to their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to eternity. So the Israelites did fall, and all of a sudden the Gentiles, because of their fall, came to the Lord and have been worshiping ever since. And one day Israel will come back, but the Gentiles, because of their fall, have come back indeed. Now many of these Christians, Gentiles, are not as sound as they ought to be, but at least in a general sense they did come back to the Lord from idolatry. Let's read verse number 12. Now if the fall of them to the riches of the world and the diminishing of them to the riches of the Gentiles, how much more shall their fullness? And the fullness one day will be restored. We don't know when or all the time, but God in His grace, His power, and His omnipotence will bring back Israel to see Him. And there's going to be a millennial reign of Christ. It's going to all these things in the future is predicted in the Scriptures. And Israel will be again 144,000 Israelites in the tribulation period. 12,000 from every one of the Israelite tribes. God is not through with His people, Israel. And half camping and others say, now they're just taken over by the church. No, they've not, indeed. Did we read verse 11 yet?
Yeah.
Okay, verse number 12, Romans 11 and verse...
Just read that.
Verse 12, okay, let's go. Verse number 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. So Paul is saying, I'm an Israelite, but I turn to Christ and I'm now a Gentile that is now a Christian. As it says in verses in Acts 9 and verse 15, Paul says, but the Lord said unto me, unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the churches of Israel, and children rather of Israel. That's exactly what Paul did. He followed the will of the Lord. He's an Israelite, saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, and ministered to the Gentiles. The same in Acts 22 and verse 21. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. He departed and left at great distances, but he went to Gentiles as God had called him. And then in Galatians, Acts 26 and verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee. So Paul was delivered and commissioned to go to the Gentiles, and he went. Then again in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 7 and 8, but when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, Paul says, as the gospel of the circumcision, was committed unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. So God delivered Paul and committed Paul to the Gentiles, and Peter committed to preach to the Jews, mainly to the Jews. And then in Romans 1 and verse 16, you know this one, I'll say it together. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. If the Jews accept him, it's for them. If the Gentiles accept the Lord Jesus, it's for them as well. Let's read verse number 14 together. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are of my flesh, I might say some of them. He likes to provoke to the Jews and say some of them. He was a fleshly Israelite, and he was a minister of the Gentiles, but he hopes that he could provoke for emulation to get them out of their lethargy and become Christians. He will do that too, but he's basically for the Gentiles, and Peter was basically for the Jews. But both of them were seeking to win others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read verse number 16 together. For if the first church be holy, the lump also holy. And therefore be holy, so are the righteous. The root is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's holy. And there's another verse I want to read. I don't remember where it's found, but who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Shall a nation be born at once? Talking about Israel here. For as soon as Zion traveled, as soon as Zion travailed, rather, they brought forth her children. So one day Israel would be changed and brought back. Did we read 16? Did we? 16?
Yes.
Okay. Now, in that section, for instance, in John 15, verse 5, the Lord Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Those Christians, those believers, those disciples. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, he can do nothing. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, we can't bring forth any fruit whatsoever. We've got to depend on him and lean on him for that. Then in John 10, and verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. He wants to give us life. He wants to give others life through us as we speak to them about the Savior, the one who is everlasting life. And let's read verse number 18 together. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. The root is the Lord Jesus Christ. The branches, Israel, the branches were cut off for a while, but they're going to be brought back. And the Gentiles are sustained by the root of the tree, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And Israel has got to be sustained by that also. If they come back, they'll be sustained, they can grow. And during the millennial reign of Christ, we'll see the Jews again with Christ and the Gentiles with Christ. And there will be a reunion of those that fell away and brought back to the Lord himself. Praise the Lord. When that takes place, who knows when? The way things are going in the world seems like tribulation, 7-year tribulation, won't be too far off. We don't know. We can't set any dates. But I'll tell you, I don't know how much more we can stand with this communist United States of America principles. And when the election changes, if it does change, Trump is started one way and left another way in many ways, but he's certainly better than Hillary. And once she gets in, as she does, it's bad enough right now with all these things of COVID 19 other things, but it'll be communism completely, and we'll be put in prison if we do not stand for what she stands for, which is nothing. I don't know what's going to happen, but we have to pray to be faithful to the Lord no matter what. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank you that though Israel has fallen, Israel has gone away from thee. The Gentiles, very few of them are saved. We thank you, Lord, that many of us, genuine Christians, are trusting thee and trusting thy Son whom thou didst send. We thank you for him. We thank you for thy word. Keep us faithful to that. And keep us faithful to thee no matter what the government orders us to do. Whether it take that killing, eventually killing, injection, vaccination, which they're trying to do to eliminate thousands and thousands of people and put us down into very, very few people on this earth. Keep us faithful not to let that poison enter our bodies, even if it means to be sent to the training camps and to prison, whatever it is. Keep us faithful, trusting thee as our Savior and Redeemer, and being a good witness. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals once again. Turn to hymn number